clear to us.
That great love that provides for us our every need, even though we don't know that we have that need. The Lord, as we gather here now, we ask that you would move. Help us to be humble of heart. Help us to set our minds on hearing the word. Lord, we ask that you would bless the brethren, Brother Van, his lovely wife, the saints as they return home. Lord, it won't be much longer that we need to battle, to press the battle. Lord, we believe that you are coming soon. And we long to see you. We long to touch you. We long to hear more about you. Amen. So Father, please have your way with us this afternoon. Speak. Reveal, Lord, our hearts, that nothing would be hidden. Give us faith. We do love you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Keep on screaming. Please don't stop screaming at me.
Anybody have a request?
A little eagle down in the sky, hear your mama cry, spread your wings. That little eagle is born on a rock, high up in the sky, he'll die on that rock. One day mama says, let's go for a ride, feel us glide, don't look down. Soaring through the sky, got the sun in my eye, but then she drops me down, hear me scream. Oh, mama, what you doing to me? Surely I'll fall. No, son, can't you see? A little eagle down in the sky, hear your mama cry, spread your wings. That little eagle grows stronger every day, wide wings of faith, high up in the logos. Then one day he's feeling low, got nowhere to go, tangled in the wilderness. My mama told me that sin will make you hard, dry up your eyes till you can't praise your God. Never got so low I can't see my rock. This word will never leave me. It's so small, just a speck in my eye, but I hear a cry. Oh, brother eagle down in the dark, hear your brother cry, arise and eat, won't you? Now, my brother, I'm flying o'er your head, throwing down fresh meat, take and eat. The road ahead is a hard road, I'm coated and stiffened with sin. But I'll walk and I'll crawl and I'll scratch my way home. I'll never fall there again. Oh, my rock, it's good to be home, crying here alone, high up in the logos. Flying out in faith, I kill my own prey. Taste the fresh, sweet blood. Remember in my dark day, remember in my brother back there. Now, my brother, I'm flying o'er your head, throwing down fresh meat. Take and eat. Oh, brother eagle down in the dark, hear your brother cry, arise and eat, won't you? Oh, my brother, you're feeling low, but listen to me screaming and shouting. Oh, my brother, you're lost in your blues, but no way I'm better, 'cause I've been there too. Oh, brother eagle down in the dark, hear your brother cry, arise and eat, won't you? Oh, brother eagle, drying
can I explain this feeling that I have? You have given me life somehow. I was all alone with nowhere left to go, and then you called my name, and now I'm going home. By your mercy you've given me life, and by your grace I have finally realized that without you I would surely die. Your words, they came to me, and now that I can see, my soul is alive, resting ever so free. My spirit's weak each day, but it's not here to stay. Your words hold the power to drive the doubts away. By your mercy you've given me life, by your grace I have finally realized that without you I would surely die. Now your wisdom is so high, and I can only climb your ladder of faith by obeying you each time. And when I reach the top, oh, the visions I will see clearer and clearer, your words become to me. And by your mercy you've given me life, and by your grace I have finally realized that without you I would surely die.
Branham said that faith is a ladder that you climb, and when you get to the top, you break into visions. And I can think of how close I feel to that. Just being able to see the word unfold, to be able to just see His visions, to see as God sees, and how I want to climb that ladder higher. But every rung is simple obedience. That's all it is. The last rung is no different than the first one. Amen. Brother Willie, would you come, please?
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. It is you, Lord, who came and saved me, the heart and soul of every man. It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness, yet give me strength which I don't have. My Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lead me on, Lord, from temptation, by me from within. Fill my heart, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Take away all my sin. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lead me on, Lord, from temptation. Purify me from within. Fill my heart with your Holy Spirit. Take away all my sin. My Lord, prepare me. Sing it with me. To be a sanctuary,
pure and holy,
tried and true, with thanksgiving,
I'll be a living
sanctuary, yes, Lord. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. You mean it, sing it. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving,
I'll be a living
sanctuary. Tell him again, Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. Yes, Lord, tried and true. Lord, we pledge with thanksgiving, I'll be a living.
Sister Margaret, do you not have another one for us?
Let me hear, recognize, and move on in thy word, Lord, for I'm called to become thy bride. Let me understand the way that you're leading, pressing on for my faith to excel. Stir me up, Lord. Let your word flow through me. Stir me up, Lord. Let your fragrance cling to me. Let the full revelation of your love govern me me be all in thee. When the anointing comes, as thy word goes forth, let it not be my spirit alone, but let it be all of me, deep within my soul. And Lord, stir me up. Stir me up, Lord. Let your word flow through me. Stir me up, Lord. Let your fragrance cling to me. And let the of your love govern me. Oh, stir me up. Let me be all in thee. For there is coming an hour Christ would be useless. There'll be no grace, no more pardon, no love. Then let me be caught away to my precious Lord. But while I remain, stir me up, Lord. Let your words flow through me. Stir me up, Lord. Let your fragrance cling to me. And let the full revelation of your love govern me. Oh, stir me up. Let me be all in thee. Let the full revelation of your love govern me. Oh, stir me up. Lord, let me be.
Well, it's come down to the end. I want Brother Ben to take his time, say all that's in there that God wants us to have. Pray that the Lord will lead him. And it's been a blessed trip. It's been a blessed meeting. It's been wonderful meeting the other saints from Trinidad. And but I want you to tell Brother Joe that we're really mad. Really mad. We thought he liked us. Tell him, you know, taking a wife, that's not good enough. Brother Branham said, Christ and mystery, you let your wife and everything rob you of the revelation. So, you tell him our feelings. But it is blessed to get to know the saints and, you know, Brother Branham said, God loves variety, you know, and it's like, I'm glad he does. I'm really glad he does. And the more we can get to appreciate all the different personalities and all the different people and even gifts in the body. Yes, they're different, you know, but they're all in the body for the body. And it makes the body richer. And I just thank the Lord so much. You know, I've always been convinced of His wisdom. And I just think He's a neat guy. I really do. Well, Brother Ben, come and reach your heart out. Maybe your last chance.
Shall we all stand? We just bow our head and close our eyes with a prayer. Our precious Father, Lord, we love you and we appreciate you. We could sit in your presence and be blessed of thee. Lord, we come and be so inspired to worship you, Lord, as we see your great love expressed towards us. We thank you for revelation, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit quickening the word to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for believers, Lord, that believe the truth, that is making it alive and making it live in this hour, that we could see a beauty. Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, you give us to pass by, Lord, even to have fellowship with part of the family of God. And Lord, how we appreciate your children here so much. Lord, your servants. Father, we thank you. And we just pray tonight that this last meeting that we have for this time, dear God, you just come on the wings of a dove. Lord, let your sweet love be shed abroad in our hearts, Father. And Lord, may you do something special for us tonight, Lord. We love you and we appreciate you and we look unto you, knowing you are our sufficiency, Lord. We thank you so much. Bless us now and bless your word and bless the hearing of your word. And may you get honor and glory in this service, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let us turn again in the book of Judges, also Leviticus 1. I just want to get a couple of verses in Judges chapter 6 as a way of Judges 6. Verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father had, and cut down the groves of the images that are by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the images which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the images were cut down that were by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. Let's just read on the verse 33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. May God add his blessing to your words. You may have a seat. Amen. After he offered that burnt sacrifice and the enemy was coming, God came down to meet the challenge. I just like that. Well, it's always a little sad when you come to the last service. But in our hearts, we are contented. We learn to be content in whatever state we are in. And we thank God that He made a way for us to come, and the blessings we have received and the fellowship that we have enjoyed one with the other around the world, and the privilege that we have had to see one another who we love, shake your hand, talk with you, spend a little time with you, eat together, fellowship together. It has truly been wonderful. And you know, God didn't bound to make it possible for us to be here, but He made it possible for us to be here. He allowed us to come. We always enjoy the opportunity to that we have to be with the saints. And when God made it possible, we are happy and we are thankful. And we know that, you know, we have grown in His Word to be able to accept the way that God does things and appreciate it, knowing that He knows best what He's doing. And, you know, that right now, as Paul says one time, he said, I prefer to go with the Lord, but it's profitable for me to be here still. And I believe God knows it's profitable for us to be here still, to be able to meet with one another and fellowship with one another as we continue in His service until He would call us home. And until that time, we know that we are trying to do the best that we could do to be able to help one another along this way. And I trust that, you know, the words, I believe it has, and I trust that it really has, deep down in your heart, been something to you that, you know, it will really help you in this hour as we see from the scriptures, as we see from the signs of the time, as we see from the things that are taking place around us, that we see exactly where we're standing, and we could serve God with a greater determination. And if He wasn't putting all into it, or we were putting everything into it, and then God revealed to us that there is more we can put into it, then we are determined to consecrate ourselves to put all that God requires of us into it. Because we know it's not long again, and it'll soon be over, because where the Holy Spirit is identifying us in the Scriptures at this present time, then we see the things that is to come in continuity to it. And the next things to happen, after Esther came out of consecration, we saw what happened. After Gideon offered that burnt sacrifice, we saw what followed. So it means to say, if the things that was to take place before we come to that spot have taken place, then the things that is to follow will definitely take place. And we could see God send a prophet, we could see the prophet giving a message, we could see the angel of the Lord follow the prophet's message, we could see the three powers united together, we know the purpose they're gathering together. We see it in the news. We see it taking place round about us. We know they are coming to the borderland. It's coming to a showdown. But we thank God we don't have to stay here and cringe in fear and wonder what's going to happen. We see God come down on the scene. Amen. Amen. And we see the Holy Spirit in our midst. Because, you know, we're taking that those things there. How we're looking at in the book of Esther, we're looking at the religious realm, what has happened, we look at the political realm, and then the spiritual realm. We saw Esther under the message that was being spoken to her, how it began to uncover her inner fears, her inner doubts, and how it brought her to a place of complete commitment. And here we're picking up the inner life again, the spiritual happenings that is taking place with the elect in this hour. And we see Gideon under the sound of the angel voice, in that hour when those things was happening in the harvest time, and we see what God was speaking to him. You know, when God would speak something to us, He's speaking for a definite purpose. And we could see that the angel of the Lord was speaking certain things to him. Every word that he spoke, it was revealing God's thoughts, what he was thinking in his heart concerning us. And everything that Gideon did, when he did those things that God required, what followed, we saw what God's intent was, why He spoke those things. Because those things are going to follow. And if we can look and see what our experience as we identified in the scripture, and we taking something from the Bible, not back in Luther's time, not back in the Pentecostal time, or not somewhere over in the millennium, but we're taking something that's happening now. And when we see what's happening now, and we see and we compare our life with the scripture, then we can see if our experiences have been that. Then we can see if the economic crisis really have brought us to a place that it you know, like Gideon, he had come down in the humanistic realm. You know, after he maybe heard the prophet messages all enthused and full of faith and so on, but as the economic crisis grew worse, we find that he had dropped down into a realm that when the angel of the Lord was on the scene speaking those things in the present tense. You know, Gideon had believed the prophet message, but it was a historical thing way back there for him. Yeah.
You were so pressured into a place that you was walking by sight and no more by faith, trying to stop what little you have with fear and, you know, insecurity, hoping that, you know, I hope the enemy don't get that. And here was the Midianites devouring the increase of everything. What they wasn't taking in taxes, they was taking in bills. What they wasn't taking in bills, they was taking in schooling. What they wasn't taking in schooling, they were taking some health plan. One way or the other, they was devouring all the increase. And all he had labored and sown, even like the ministers, they're sowing the word. And then Midianites, the Bible says, like locusts, like grasshoppers. And you know, Revelation 9, there was 200 million locusts. Came up, and the king was called Abaddon and Apollyon, meaning the destroyer. And they had come, these locusts had come to do what? Destroy the land. And these locusts were really three powers that gathered together, supernatural devils. And when was they coming to devour the land? When were they united? When were they loose? In the harvest time. And here we see that while those things were happening, he was all there, not able to have the victory, under pressure. And God, you know, didn't come and try to tell him, okay, Gideon, I'll give you a, you know, maybe a better job, or maybe give you something over here. God came to raise him up and quicken him to the real purpose, the spiritual purpose that God had placed him in that hour to live for. And God was showing him, you will smite the Midianites as one man. They're coming as locusts of multitude. They're coming to devour the land. They're coming against you. But I've come that when I'm finished, you'll be able to stand and face them. That the very thing you're running, you're hiding from, the very thing that have you on the defensive, you'd be able to go forth. And that is the very purpose. The message has come unto us for this hour. That message has been released unto us, that we might be able to look in the scriptures and see that it is a spiritual walk. It's a walk with God in this hour. And as we walk with Him, and He opens His word to us, we could see what the Holy Spirit is trying to achieve in your life. Because, I mean, Gideon had his wife and his children. He lived on his land there. He was about his daily business. But yet, there was a spiritual purpose. Yet, there was something in that prophet message that, you know, he was quoting back and saying, but didn't that God bring us out to Egypt and all these things? And all those things he was speaking and quoting, when the angel of the Lord began to take those same things and speak it and put it in the present tense, he found himself not being able to relate to what the angel was saying. Because the angel was speaking to him the way God was seeing him, by the real predestined mystery of his life. And when God comes to speak to us, like Paul one time on the boat, he was in chains and bound in chains. And the boat was going to be shipwrecked, a storm was going to come. They wouldn't see the sun for 14 days. And the Lord appeared to him on the boat. He said, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, came to me this night. And he said, be of good cheer, Paul. He says, look, you shall bear witness of me in Rome. He didn't come and tell him, look, I'm, you know, kind of sorry for you, and you're going through a hard time, and these chains was really hurting you, and things are going to get worse, you know. You're going to, the boat going to shipwreck, and I don't know how you're going to make them chains, so best I take them chains off of you and kind of make it easier for you. God wasn't interested in that. He was getting further instructions for service. Now, God saw him in the chains. But you see, many times we think that, you know, every little thing we go through, the first thing the Lord is going to come is to come and relieve the little burden. The first little problem we have, the Lord is going to come and move it. The prophet is not parental care for a baby. Because even in those things, it's for a testimony. Even in those things, it's to help you even to deliver your own family. As Christ had to come and go through what we're going through to intercede for us, to be able to deliver us. So we have to go through those things to be able to deliver others. Because it is He again living out those things in another body. Your body and my body. And here was Gideon when God came to him. He looked at him under that economic crisis. He looked at him under the pressure, all that inflation and unemployment. He looked at those things. But he didn't come to try to solve that situation, because the hour says is here and the word says it has to be so. But God has come to give us faith to live in this hour, to know Jehovah Jireh. regardless of the circumstances. Look at the prophet at time when God gave him the experience. And he was there, you know, and God had shown him he's going to get this grizzly bear. And he was coming there, you know, he had seen the caribou already, and he'd seen the bird in the checkered shirt, and he knew that he was in the vision. It was a sign for him to know he was in the vision. He looked at the scenery first. He said, God, show me a vision. You know, I'm going to get a great caribou. And he asked the brother, he says, you know, the brother says, Brother Branham, he said, I'm a guide for 20 years in this country. I never see one of those animals you're talking about. Brother Branham says, he said, well, maybe. He said, I know the vision is right. Maybe there's not a place. Maybe there's not a time. There's another place. But something about the scenery, something in his heart made him feel that now is the time it's going to happen. So he began to ask him, he says, anybody here got a checkered shirt? Nobody have no checkered shirt? But then finally, here it was, one of the brothers had a checkered shirt all the time. And the checkered shirt was in a bag, and he didn't even know it was in a bag. But when the time came for that animal to walk over that bush, everybody would doubt the vision. Everybody would be, well, sure, you could have a 9-foot grizzly bear could hide somewhere inside this tall timber. Because it's easy. Even though we don't see one, it's obvious in the middle of this 80-foot tall forest. It's bound to have maybe have a few grizzly bears inside of there. But as he kept walking, coming down, and the vegetation kept changing, until finally coming into the place where the grass was 4 inches high. He said miles ahead, miles back, to the left and to the right, and then unbelief started creeping out. Because now the eyes can't see nothing. Now unbelief started to doubt the vision now. And questions start to arise in the mind. And the brother said, Brother Branham, within a couple more minutes, we'll be where those brothers are. And somewhere between here and there, there's supposed to be a grizzly bear. Somewhere between here, and maybe 1988, the generation is supposed to run out. There's supposed to be a super church. Say, we don't know how it's going to happen. And the brothers walk on there, and Brother Ram said, are you doubting, brother? He said, no, Brother Bram. He said, not really. You're trying to look at me, not really. But he said, Brother Bram had seen himself in the vision. Yeah. Brothers only hearing about the vision. Yeah. Brother Bram knew he was under the inspiration of the vision. The vision was coming to pass right there. So as they kept walking, he says, Brother Bram, he said, that bear better be showing up pretty soon. He said, because so the grass is 4 inches high. Where is it going to come from? And he began to go by what he was seeing. But Brother Abraham knew if the first part of the vision fulfilled and the vision was twofold, then the second part must come to pass also. And if God brought that first part to pass, then God's going to bring the other part also. Right. So while he kept going, he said, Brother Abraham, where is that bear? He said, but he is Jehovah Jireh. He's able to create a bear and put it there. Because he said, no, you're looking for a 9-foot grizzly bear in 4-inch high grass. You better have faith. Because the five senses have nothing, the five senses to help you. And the hour we have come down to 1987, we're no longer in the high timbers. We're no longer in the place where things can help your senses and boost your feelings and these things. It better be a place where faith is anchored in the Word, where you know He's Jehovah Jireh. Amen. And I believe that, you know what, as we look and we see these things in the Scriptures and it's opening there, we see exactly in that hour how the Holy Spirit worked among the elect to put that faith in their heart. And when Hathach came, he spoke the words of Mordecai. And when the angel of the Lord followed the prophet's message, he was speaking the very words, making them ready to face what the prophet had spoken about. So we see then it will be a continuation of the prophet's message in this hour to keep us under the inspiration that the prophet was under, that he released to us, that we should stay under. And for those past 21 years, people have wiggled this way and wiggled that way and gone this way and gone in so many different directions. But there is a bride walking in step tonight. Amen. And we look here and we see those things and see that when God came down to that hour, he had come for one purpose. As we look at the scripture, he had come because there was a promise that when the showdown comes, there'll be a ministry of the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. When the squeeze comes, watch the turtle and the king's sword is going to be here. There'll be a people who can take the word and hand it there. He said, wait until those seven thunders utter voices of that little group who can take the word and hand it there. They will shut the heavens, create billion ton of flies, whatsoever it is. Amen. And we saw that Gideon had a ministry, and that little group, that 300, that God thinned down that crowd in the testing time and bring it down to people. Every one of them had empty vessels. Every one of them had a burning lamp in that empty vessel. Everyone had a trumpet. Everyone was set in order because he divided them up into three companies. And God had confirmed to him that he was going to give him the victory. Because this one had a dream about the barley loaf, how it mashed down the Midianite's tent. And they said, that is none other than the sword of Gideon. Amen. So here we see in that very hour, when they stood there, that God was on the scene. God and man was united. But as we look and saw, what brought the union between God and man? What brought that super sign in the harvest time? What brought Emmanuel on the scene? God required a burnt sacrifice. He had to bring it. And Gideon, being a Jew, a Hebrew, he knew what the burnt sacrifice was. He knew that God had told Moses back there to bring those things, and it must be done a certain way, every one of those feasts. And to see that if we are in that hour, and we must bring that burnt sacrifice, I want to look in the scriptures now to see exactly if we have that sacrifice. If you don't have that sacrifice, then you as an individual, you must come to that place. Otherwise, you are missing the mark. But if you see you are walking in there, then stand with confidence and know that when that hour comes, it'll be God right there walking in you. Amen. He will not fail. He will keep his promise, because God have given this word. He have given these types. And remember, if there's a shadow, Paul said the Old Testament was written in shadows and types. If there's a shadow, you couldn't have a shadow until there's a reality. Then it means the light struck something to cast that shadow. But what the light struck is not going to come into view until an appointed time. What's going to be before your eyes would be the shadow. But now we are realizing that here we are living in the harvest time. Then there must be people in this hour match those things that were shown as a type for the harvest time. And if it's happening in your life, then you see your name represented in the book right here. Then you know you are Gideon. Then you know you are part of that bride who was thirsting for the living God. And God came to fulfill his word. Let's turn to Leviticus 1. Leviticus 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. Speaking of Christ. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. He must be identified with the sacrifice. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. Now that word flay, what it meant was, it was a skinning of the animal, exposing it within and without to make sure it is free from blemish. The prophet says those priests was pure in the body but defiled in the heart. See, so they had to skin the animal to make sure it's not just a good moral life. I never drink, well, I never smoke, well, I don't commit adultery. But inside there could have hate and anger and all the different things. Amen. So they had to skin that animal to make sure it was free from blemish and cut it into pieces. And the cutting into pieces wasn't just cutting it up. It was a careful dissecting of the head, the feet, the fat, all these things to make sure each part of it was free from blemish. Verse 7, And the sons of Aaron the priests shall put fire upon the altar and lay the word in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But its inwards and its legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all must be burned. The priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep, of the goats for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish. And he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. Look at this. 1300 years before Jesus was killed on Calvary, which is located in the north of Jerusalem, God was giving them a type that they had to kill that lamb northward of the altar. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall sprinkle its blood round about upon the altar, and he shall cut it into its pieces with its head and its fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice and an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice is offered of the Lord be of the fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves, of young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it unto the altar and wring off its head, burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall he wring out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away its crop with its feathers, like how the jerk his beard out, and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. Like in Abraham when he gave that sacrifice with the turtle doves, it represents divine healing. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Now, there was three grades in the burnt offering. It could be from the herd, or the flock, or the fowls. And each one of them was speaking of Christ. Now what's something? They had to flay the animal. They had to skin it. And in skinning it, the priest was able to expose it within and without to make sure there's no blemish in it whatsoever. And then he had to cut it in pieces. He had to cut the head off. Check out the head. Then he had to cut the inward, take the inwards out and check the inwards. Then he had to cut the fat off and check the fat. And then he had to cut the legs off. And he had to wash the legs and the inwards in water. And then lay upon the altar. Now the head speaks of the thoughts. The legs speak of the walk. The inwards speak of the affections, the desires. And the fat speak of their health, which are the most choicest and desirable parts of it. So each one of these things, it represented something. And you could either bring it from the bullock, or the sheep, or the turtle dove. Now, in each of these three grades of the burnt offering, the bullock, the sheep, and the turtle dove, each of these offerings held part of the mystery of Christ, who was the one complete offering. Amen. In Hebrews 10:10 it says, by which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. So he was the one true offering. After he was offered, it had nothing else to be offered. But in the Old Testament, every one of those offerings held part of the mystery of the one great offering. And in the bullock, the bullock which was the ox, and Christ in Mark's gospel is revealed as the ox. Jehovah's laboring servant. Speaks of unceasing labor. Because the prophet also says, he said the pastor is the ox. Amen. He carried the heavy burdens. He plowed the fields. You have to plow with that yoke. As Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you have to carry that yoke and pull that plow break up the fallow ground. Because why? He has precious seed. He's getting ready to sow that seed. And he must break up that soil. Even all that stony ground, laboring there, plowing a straight line, like Elisha with the 12 yoke of oxen. Amen. Was learning to plow a straight line. And so it is, he said, the pastor, he carried the heavy burden, the problems of the people, the burdens of the message. Also, the ox is a sacrificial animal. In the martyr age, the ox anointing that was poured upon the church, it caused them to go down in martyrdom and sacrifice their lives. They love not their lives unto death. So here we see the ox enduring the task of carrying the burdens, the message of the hour. Devoted labor and service being revealed in the ox. And if you take Mark's gospel, Mark revealed Jesus Christ as his servant. Matthew revealed him as king. Mark revealed him as a servant. Luke revealed him as a man. And John revealed him as the incarnate God. Yeah. The lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. Now what's something? So then each one of them bringing forth the revelation of Christ, Mark was looking at his labors. In Mark's gospel, it says, and Jesus, he prayed for the sick all day. And then when night time came, he went out in the mountain by himself and prayed all night until morning. Rose up next day and tell the disciples, let us go into other tongues because I must preach the gospel there also. Then he came and the Bible said, he sat down to eat in Mark chapter 6. And while he sat to eat, the crowd realized he was there in the house. That he didn't even have time to eat. They came and he had to go and minister unto them. Even in Mark 6, verse 30, where it says, he took his disciples aside for a while. He said, come and sit and rest a while. Because of the heavy labors of carrying the burden of the message. And here Jesus pouring out his life in sacrifice, living not for himself, but for others. Carrying the heavy burden, the problems of the people, to mend the broken homes, to sit with the people. Point is all into it. Amen. Being sacrificial, having the responsibility in that age to carry that message, to make sure that wherever that message was ordained to go, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I have meat that you don't know of. He lived in that world of the responsibility of carrying the message of the hour. So here we see then the ox was speaking of unceasing labor. Now when God tell Gideon, he was looking for miracles. He believed the prophet message. He saw the squeeze coming in the harvest time. And the angel of the Lord come and said, you're looking for miracles. You want to see the supernatural. You want to see my vindication of you and these things. He said, but you have to bring a burnt sacrifice. Take the second bullock and offer that bullock. Now Gideon began to understand by revelation. Uh-huh. Amen. Oh, instead of hiding and trying to preserve things for your natural life, what about God's business? Amen. So he says, offer that second bullock. Break down all the old groves, all the little religious traditions, all the little religious routines and which you think justifies you and make you a nice Christian. Amen. He said, get under the burden, carry the burdens of the message. Don't evade your responsibility. Amen. Labor unceasingly. We will walk till Jesus comes. The Father walk and I walk hither too. So look at him. He was getting a revelation of sacrifice, of the sacrificial life, of the unceasing labor that he had to bring. Many people, when they are called upon to labor, oh, if it's the labor for the self, if it's the labor for increase of their own self, they can use up all the energies, help build a bigger home, work overtime and get a car and a more comfortable place. But if it's the call to do something for the Lord, then many of them have an excuse. Well, I'm kind of tired, you know. Yeah. But I had my vacation planned for this summer. I was supposed to go on vacation. Uh-huh. Because no unceasing labor.
Come on. Amen.
Amen. No devoted service. Amen. But they believe the prophet message. They see the squeeze coming. They're looking for dynamics. They're looking for a ministry of the spoken word. But when the angel of the Lord come and they sing, he says, bring a burnt sacrifice. Amen. Now the burnt offering, the Hebrew word, is a word called Ola. O-L-H, Ola. And that word means that which descends in smoke to God being wholly reduced to ashes. So as we look into this burnt offering, let us see what God was requiring of Gideon. Because we don't have to bring a natural bullock. But let us see if the devoted labor is in our life. If people can look and see the sacrificial life. If people can look and see you're carrying the burden of the message. You're willing to bear the responsibility put upon you as a Christian in this hour. But I'm saying the message is urgent. Amen. He's a newspaper boy, testify to the other newspaper boy. He's a farmer, testify to the other farmer. He's a businessman, testify to the other person. Amen. Because why? We are his representatives. We are his hands and his feet and his mouth on the earth. He's the vine, we are the branches. So look, so it means being, that which ascends in smoke to God, being wholly reduced to ashes. And it is the highest gift of God, and it indicated the complete unreserved consecration of the offerer in his entire being to God. Because everything was burnt. He said, burn all. Burn the head. Burn the feet. Burn the fat. Burn the inwards. It must all be consumed. Wholly burnt. Nothing remained until it's only ashes. Amen. You know it was on the ash heap that Job got the vision of the resurrection? He was on the ash heap. Amen. So look. So here it was. It was a complete unreserved consecration. Everything being offered. The burnt offering was wholly burnt on the altar. Because now in the meal offering, they only burnt part of it. In the peace offering, part was burnt and part was fed to others. But in the burnt offering, everything was burnt. Nothing remained. Nothing remained for the offerer. It was wholly, completely surrendered unto God. Because man's duty to God is not giving up one faculty. You know, like Samson said, I'll give God my strength, but my heart is for Delilah. You see, some people see God like that. You know, I intend to get a better education, and I don't have time. I have to miss a few services, but I have to, you know, do that. And they could maybe give up a Sunday or a Tuesday for the Lord. You see, but they can't give everything. They have other things to keep for themselves. Yeah. If it conflict, well, then they have a problem. Yeah. Amen. So man's duty is not given one faculty. Everything has to be burnt. Because the Bible says in Mark 12, when that man came to Jesus, he said, Lord, what is the first commandment? He said, love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And love your brother as yourself. He said, because this is more than all burnt sacrifices and offerings and all these things. And right there, the Lord was showing the real mystery of what the burnt sacrifice was. All the heart, all the soul, all the mind, all the strength. And I love God with all his strength. All your strength to serve him. All your strength to labor for him. Amen. All your strength to bear the responsibility that he put upon him. Because the message is not without responsibility. We saw that in the book of Esther. Especially in this hour. So here it was. All the mind, all the soul, all the affections. And it clearly speaks of the burnt offering, the head, the fat, the legs, and the inwards. Because the head speaks of the thoughts. And the Bible says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Cast down reasons. Cast down imaginations. Pull down all them strongholds. Because the carnally minded is death. The spiritually minded is life. Let the mind of Christ be in you. Meditate in his word day and night. Amen. That head, brother, it have to be there. Have to be completely laid down. The legs begin to walk. The Bible says, walk not in the vanity of your mind. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Walk not after the flesh. Because why? Those feet have to be laid on also. He says, walk before me and be perfect. Walk worthy of your vocation. Amen. Walk in love. Walk in the light. Amen. See, there is a walk there. And we who are walking, as Brother Abraham stood there in the vision, in the vision. And he said, Lord, I'm tired tramping on this mountain. Here he had the world at his hands. While all of us was trying to build his city of faith. And Tommy Osborne trying to build his little city. And this one, every man trying to build a little kingdom. And he was the one at the time that had the influence. He was the only time could have built a bigger city than faith than all Roberts had. Right. Amen. Built a bigger thing than Tommy Osborne. But he said, Lord, I'm tired tramping this mountain. I want to go down to Jordan. Amen. Because he knew that that was not the promise of the hour. And the deep in his heart could not be satisfied by those things. He couldn't find no security inside of that. The only identification, the only satisfaction, the only consolation was to see the word confirm in his life. No wonder he preached a thinking man filter. He had his thinking filtered. No wonder he had a holy man taste. And his taste was not for worldly things. His taste was to see the word living inside of him. And he saw those promises in the third pole that was for this day that was not yet manifested in his life. And he knew he had to die out to himself completely to see those things live. Because God told him, you are two-thirds down to the Jordan. There was the third pole. He had come through two poles and there's one more. He said, but I must come down to Jordan before I cross over into that huge portion of heaven that awaits me. So here we are, crossing over to that place where we all come to a real Jordan in our lives. A real total separation from all unbelief. Total deliverance. Amen. Where we know our enemy is dead. Like that time when the prophet went up on the mountain, he climbed the Holy Spirit and said, go up on the mountain. And that enemy bothered him all his life. Every 7 years he'd be sick and sick. All kind of funny manifestations spewing out to him. Make him ashamed and embarrassed. And that day he lay down there in his bed and the Holy Spirit says, go up to the mountain. He said, climb long and hard. And he climbed and he climbed and he climbed way to the top of the mountain. And when he climbed to the top of the mountain, he's walking there. And there he saw that enemy sticking that tree. That little weasel. Amen. He said, and the voice, he said, I trembled. And the voice spoke from heaven and says, your enemy is dead. Amen. I believe this bride, when we too have climbed to the mountaintop, amen, our enemy that troubles us all our life, we'll hear that very voice speaking this hour, your enemy is dead, showing that it's a total deliverance, where you could stand and say, Satan, have no place in me no more. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Tempted in all points, but yet without sin. The bride must come to that place. Next day, he went back up. He said, he saw a dove come down. Amen. That dove couldn't come down until after the enemy was destroyed. Amen. He said, that dove, that's the dove that led me to a faith I've never known. From faith all the way up. He said, the Holy Spirit, faith, the new birth, the Holy Spirit taking you right up. Amen. To bring you what? To a perfect faith. From faith unto faith unto faith. The righteousness of God is being revealed in you. Amen. Change you from glory unto glory unto glory until you come back in the original glory. Amen. And when that dove came down there, he says, he looked at that little dove. He says, he looked for that dove all them years. It was the Holy Spirit coming in that form. So we see that if we too are to have an experience like that, those feet of the prophet, he could have walked all the way up that pyramid. He could have walked all the way down to Jordan. And the same way, we must be able to have feet that could walk in God's will. Could walk in God's word. Then the next thing he says, the fat speak of the general health. They want to lay the fat on the altar. The choices and most desirable parts. The opportunities. The things that God bless you with. Amen. The things that maybe give you security and have you established and settled. And God may say, offer that fat also. You have the kind of love and cling to. Nothing wrong with it. It's the good things in your life. Amen. But look at Abraham. When God told Abraham, go and offer Isaac for a burnt offering. He had no thoughts coming. He said, God, if you say so, I'm going to offer him. Amen. But he didn't reason, he didn't fight. He pulled down every stronghold. He bring every thought into captivity. Yeah. It proved he could offer a burnt sacrifice because he was a burnt offering. Yeah. His head was on the altar. His inwards, his affections was on things above, not on things beneath. His fat, the thing that God blessed him with, the choices and blessed things that he had, which is Isaac. He could even offer that also. And his feet was washed in water. He could walk in God's word. Because God had told him before, walk before me and be perfect. And here he's walking a perfect walk, worthy of his vocation. And he proved that he was a burnt offering to offer that burnt sacrifice. Now watch. So all these things, in the burnt offering, it was the complete, entire consecration of the offer to God. If God required that of us tonight, if God required it of Gideon, then we must offer ourselves without reservation.
as Jesus offered himself. Because in that, now in the burnt offering, it's not sin we're talking about. We're not, the question is not dealing with sin. Because the first offering was a sin offering. He brought a kid. He brought 11 cakes. His sin was dealt with. But now, God must have preeminences. And we all have been baptized and confess our sins and the blood of our transgression. These things, we identify with Christ and these things. But now, he died that we can live. No, we have to die that he can live inside of us. That he can be manifested without one flaw. Amen. So it was a faithful Israelite coming for acceptance as a worshiper. And he appears as a perfect man. And in his offering, he stands a trial of fire. Because it had me consume by fire. And then it ascends before God as a sweet-smelling savor. So it was a sweet savor offering. It was offered for acceptance. It was alive. And it was wholly burnt. It must be alive. The meal offering wasn't alive. It was a bloodless offering. But the burnt offering was alive, had to be given. It had to be wholly burnt. It had to be offered for acceptance. And it must be a sweet savor offering where you can say, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Is acceptable." Amen. Now watch. It was the entire surrender of self in everything to God. You think about Jesus tonight. If there was one thought in Jesus' mind that wasn't fully surrendered to God, where would we have been tonight? They tried to make him king. And here he was. He was popular in his time. He had a great following. And under all of it, they tried to want to make him king. But he, knowing the word of God, that he was going to become king later on. When he looked at the Father's throne to take his own throne, he was thinking about those who needed redemption. And here he was. He was willing to lay down every thought, every opportunity in life. When Peter tried to stop him from going to the cross, he said, "Lord, I won't let a man touch you." He said, "Get thee hence, Satan. You suffer the things of man and not of God." Because why? The word. He had no thoughts of his own. The word was his head. Amen. Everything he did was governed by the word. If there had been one affection in his heart, which was not yielded to the Father's will, to see him, he didn't have to be in a position when time to pay his taxes with a ministry like he had. Think of it. A ministry like he had, and he couldn't even pay his own taxes. Didn't have enough money in the treasury to pay the taxes. They had to go and tell Peter, "Throw the hook and catch a fish and you'll find the money there." Amen. But he lived in a world that even when they had the meeting and couldn't feed the people that was gathered there in the meeting, he was able to take a little boy lunch and multiply it. Because he was so surrendered to God. Now watch. Think of his walk. He is the burnt offering, because that bullock was Christ. And let us look at what he was as a burnt offering, because he being revealed in us again as the same burnt offering in the harvest time. It might be he walking in us. Might be he thinking in us. Might be he loving in us. Might be he sacrificing in us. Might be he loving back God with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his soul, and with all his strength. Amen. He was a whole burnt offering. Everything he said, everything he did, it was for God. Now what's something? Our head. Many times, in our own thinking, if we don't have the mind of Christ, we can have our own little private thoughts. If our affection is not set on things above, where Christ is at the right hand of God, the Bible says, set not your affections on things beneath. If you now be risen in Christ, think of it. Because Christ is risen. When the prophet revealed the Easter seal, there's a mystery under the Easter seal. What? It is the rising of the sun. He said the Sunday, and the angel have come down and pulled the seal back, and the cold, stiff, dead body is shaken back to life. And if you are part of that body, and you'll be risen with Christ, then seek those things where Christ is at the right hand of God. And that's where the power and the authority is. Not those things beneath. Amen. Because what is going to really reveal him in this hour? Amen. It's going to take his very life, having preeminences, to reveal him. It's going to take his very nature, his very character, his very signs, his very wonders. These things to reveal him in us in this hour. Amen. Not our knowledge of the message is going to reveal him alone, but that very life is going to make that knowledge manifest to prove it's not a head knowledge, but it's a heart knowledge. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Then the inwards. Look at Hattie Wright sitting down there. But I'm saying with the heart off of the things of the world, the inwards had to be washed with water. Her heart sitting down there. And she said, Baram said, had to get $1 million right now. And that woman that no poverty. That woman that no hardship. But you see, in the midst of there, in that poverty, it showed she had found a contentment. Paul said, some say gain with godliness. Godliness is gain. Amen. But he says, let me get exactly how he said it in the scripture. I don't want to misquote it. Amen. He says, some say gain is godliness. From such a joy thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And she had found that godliness with contentment. Because when great gain was being offered to her, you can have $1 million fall in your lap right now. That never even touched that inwards that was washed with water. It showed when she sat in that tabernacle and the prophet preached as hard as he could that she was not rejecting that word. That she wasn't a hearer only. It showed that word was washing the inwards and the inside. That when the same word of the prophet mouth come back to her, but as she was so washed. As Baram said, I ain't washed of a washing. She was so washed in that very hour that she could say, Baram, what will I ask? $1 million, Hattie? That didn't touch her. Your mother and daughter gonna, your sister gonna come be made whole out of that wheelchair. She didn't just desire healing, bodily healing. It wasn't no great thing for her to say, oh, somebody get healed or something. She, you know, like some people, they have no vindication, so they want the sick to be healed to kind of feel, boy, we're going kind of all right because somebody get healed. Yeah. She didn't want that. She wasn't insecure. She knew she was standing. Then he said, how do you let your mother and father turn back young? That didn't even touch her. And all of a sudden it spoke out to that inwards washing water, the affections were set on things above. Amen. He said, Brother Bram, the salvation of my two boys. But look at Brother Bram. He said, if I had a thousand lives, I would have given them all to Jesus. The revelation he had of the love of God and what was being lived out through the one life he had, he saw it as not being able to show the kind of appreciation that God had deserved for the revelation of the love that he had. He said, if I had 1,000 lives, I wouldn't keep back not one for myself. I'd give them all to Jesus. Amen. But some of us have one life. And God almost has to wrestle some of us down to the ground to get part of that life. Amen. He chose the harder way, which is God's way, to walk along the Jordan. God tell him to walk with me. You will walk alone. But he was willing to walk alone. Because he had a revelation. If God is requiring that kind of sacrifice. Now many of us, we don't, as you say, we use the word preeminence. We pray, Lord, have the preeminence in my life. Have the preeminence in my life. And it's good. It's a good word to inject into our prayer. But then, preeminence is that complete unreserved consecration. It can't just be a head. It has to be a head without blemish. And it can't just be inwards. It has to be inwards washed in water. And Ephesians 5 tells us what the water is. You are washed with the washing of the water by the word. Walk in the spirit. Walk word of the vocation. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Say, but Abraham, just don't mention about the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and, we'll be able to take care of you well and, we'll take it to all the nerve centers, all the main cities and different things. And, but his inwards, his legs are already washed in water. That was the counsel of the ungodly. He said the angel of the Lord come and say something different in the Bible. It's not the angel of the Lord. He said, I listen to this word, what this word says. He said, how I know the angel of the Lord? When he comes, he only speaks what the scripture says. But the Bible says, if an angel come from heaven and speak in a college word, let him be a curse. And look where he was standing. How much he believed that word. Walk not in the vanity of his mind. Walk before him the perfect, walk in the light. And here the prophet had no thoughts of his own, no private ambitions. One time he tried to raise that head off the altar. And he had a little thought, kind of get go to a little complex, you know, nobody wants to accept his message. This one, maybe he begin to preach, and you know, the people begin to get indifferent when you have to rebuke them and correct sin and these things. And then when he saw that, he began to get kind of very complex, and he began to devise certain thoughts. He says, I'm going to go up in the woods, grow out my beard. If God have a message with these people, I'm going to come out and preach it. But I done with these people, I can't take them on no more. And he developed that kind of attitude. But he's raising them head, that head off the altar. He's allowing the enemy to try to put a blemish in that head. And God said, you carry out them thoughts that you're thinking. I'll make you a bum. Your wife will leave you. You see? So right away, it showed then that the preeminence is. And he came back and said, as we read from Humble Thyself, he said, Lord, I want to have a greater feeling in my heart for your people. He says, pray for me. I'll have more love for the people because I cannot go out there and fulfill my commission if I don't have the right feeling. He said, God, rebuke me and tell me to stop calling them children, Rickies and Ricketters, because many of them outside there was God own. Amen. Amen. Because why? Even the prophet had to come to that place where it must be God must have complete preeminence. It must be fully unreserved. He must have nothing for him left himself. When he offered himself there, it's not you come back off the altar and you go and do maybe fish and hunt and do your own things on God's time. Apart from God's service. You see? So here Gideon was. He wanted to see, the miracles. He said, God, where's these miracles? I mean, the prophet won't preach. I mean, the message. And the crisis coming. He said, when the squeeze comes, what the third pole? We supposed to have the miracles all now. And the angel said, no. Bring a burnt sacrifice first. When you bring a burnt sacrifice, you won't have to ask to see no miracles. You won't have to desire to see no miracles. It'll be here. Amen. Now watch. The three things they could have bring was the bullock. And the bullock, in Mark, as we show, it showed the unceasing labor. So God is telling him, you must have unceasing labor. Then the next one was the lamb, the sheep. And Isaiah 53 says, he was like a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. Amen. A sheep that forfeit all its rights. It grow its wool. It labor there all through the year, feeding, growing its wool. And when the winter comes, and the sheep will need the wool for himself, but just let him shear it off. For maybe the master to take a coat, make a coat of it, and keep himself warm. Without complaining. Uncomplaining submission. Forfeiting all his rights. Not retaliating. He was dumb before his sharers. When they accuse him and conspire against him, he never had a revengeful spirit. Pilate marveled. He said, what kind of man is this? He just say back something. You can't let people walk all over you like that. See? He said, defend yourself. But he's a sheep. Uncomplaining submission. What about us? Do you have the uncomplaining submission? Do you see that your life is in full submission to God's word? Do you see you have the labor? That you can love the Lord all your strength? Unceasing labor? You are willing to carry the burden of the message? You willing to carry the burden of the responsibility placed upon you in the assembly? You must have it. You don't want preeminences? Amen. Then, the lamb also is willing to be led. It's not self-willed. It could be led. It has a nature that God can lead it. Then the next thing was a turtle dove. And the turtle dove speaks in the Bible of innocence. Morning innocence. Jesus said, be wise as serpents. and harmless as dove. Also, Isaiah 59:11 speaks about mourning innocence like doves. Now watch. A dove is clean, keep clean from the inside out. A dove have no gall, no bitterness. And the Bible says, a root of bitterness springing up in many have defiled them. Many harbor a little bitterness, a little resentment. But to bring that burnt offering, they could bring also a dove. So God is telling Gideon, where are your unceasing labor? Where are your uncomplaining submission? Where are your mourning innocence? You're going to take that to bring in the Holy Spirit. You're going to take an unreserved consecration. It has to be holy, reduced to ashes. It must have no blemish within and without. And you all have your own private interpretations of the message. He said, look at your head full of blemishes. Sometimes God has to anoint the minister. And then the minister, you know, the Holy Spirit tells the minister, go and preach on the head tonight. The minister come, maybe go in the Bible, get Corinthians there, pull out, bring every thought into captivity, cast down reasonings, and then deal with all them, you know, head, all them private interpretations, all them blemishes in the head. Amen. And buddy, we're going to blast all them free thinkers. All them carnal reasonings. See? And brother, you may not understand what is going on. It's not nothing personal. It's the Holy Spirit trying to make sure your head has no blemish inside it. Yes. Amen. And they begin to hoard. And begin to stop in bands. And God says, the fat must be on the altar. Put the fat on the altar. All is willing to put in something else instead of maybe God's service. He says, you got to put the fat there too. Amen. Or the inwards. See, all the maybe ungodly lusts. All kind of carnal things. And the Holy Spirit will come down and wash them inwards with water. All the lustful spirits will kind of creep in there. You see? Amen. And many people have little private ambitions. On the inside. And the Holy Spirit says, that inwards. Full of blemish, you gotta wash that. Amen. Maybe for 6 months, the minister washing that, like Esther had to go under them oil of myrrh. Amen. For 6 months. Amen. Everybody like the sweet odors. But when the Holy Spirit come and say, all right, preach now on the inwards this week, or preach on the walk next 4 months, every message on the walk until the walk stretch. No wiggling that walk. Amen. No wiggling off the road and wiggling off the end. Next thing they get under the conch of the ungodly, some kind of contrary spirit comes and influence this one, influence that one. Turn their feet, make them lame feet. Feet can't stand the promises. And the minister, put them feet on the neck of them kings. Amen. Bring all things under your feet. Amen. Have to come. May walk up them 7 steps. See, God have to come and do it. May them do it through the minister. But what it is, he is bringing a sacrifice where it could be acceptable for him in order for him to come and unite with us. Amen. But many times people don't see that. They don't understand it. So that turtle dove, it must be harmless. Not hurtful, harmless. The dove was used for carrying messages also. The dove mate for life. Do you know that? The dove is made for life. And the mate of the dove is the word. The Holy Spirit, that is made, the word. No, the dove can't have no goal. It can't go and eat this and eat that and eat that. It can only eat grain. Can't digest the other rotten stuff. Can't feed with a crow feeding on. Then the dove was used to carry messages in the time of war. So if God is requiring a burnt sacrifice in the harvest time, what God is telling Gideon, Gideon had to produce that mystery in his life before he could enter into that ministry of the Son of the Lord. Amen. Before he could smite the Midianites as one man, he must have devoted labor. He must have uncomplaining submission. Amen. He must have mourning innocence. He must be without blemish within and without. Amen. He must be wholly reduced to ashes. Before you can enter into that kind of ministry. Where are we standing tonight? Look at our place of being. But you know something? If Gideon could have offered it, and he was only a type, and a greater than Gideon is here, it shows we can offer it. We can offer it, and we must offer it before that hour comes. Because when that hour comes, the burnt offering was history. Because it was God having preeminence, showing forth the preeminence now. Showing forth his victory and the reason of his death. He said that's his achievement. That's what he's working to achieve, to have that preeminence, the oversight, the leading. To make you a prisoner, that you cannot think your own thoughts, you cannot do what you want. You are bound in chains. Wholly reduced to ashes. No thoughts of your own coming. Your feet don't go where you want to go. I want to lose, and I want to live. No, sir. You're bound in chains to the world. Amen. So the bullock, the lamb, the dove, each was revealing the mystery of what the burnt offering, what Christ was. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast but not destroyed, perplexed but not in despair. I count the sheep for the slaughter all the day long. Amen. And nature that the dove could come upon and lead him. That man and God could be united. And exactly what Gideon had come to. He had come to a place. Look at Samson. Samson, he wouldn't put his head on the altar. He wouldn't wash his inward water. Oh, he could love God with all his strength, yes. But then he had to come to a place. That where he said, Lord, let me die. He was able to come and die completely. Because he saw trying to do those things and do the greater works. He could only do the greater works, and the greater works only did come after he was completely offered. Amen. Amen. Look at Joseph in the Bible. But Joseph, he had everything surrendered to God. Even when Potiphar wife going to come with all the things, it shows his inward was washing water. His affections were selling things above. Yeah. It shows his feet wasn't walking in the vanity of his mind. He wasn't walking after the flesh. Right. Amen. He had no thoughts. It showed where his thoughts was. He said, I wouldn't sin against God. See? Look at the kind of heart he had there. He says, you belong to your master. Yeah. Amen. He had gratitude for what Potiphar did for him. He wasn't going to cross that. He knew he'd been tempted. He knew he'd be thrown to prison for it. He was willing to stand true to God's word regardless. Amen. The work of that preeminence inside him. What a place that we have come down to in this hour. That where, if we are looking for that ministry, if we're looking for Christ, it must be a complete surrender to God in everything. Many people today are looking for a squeeze. They're looking for a ministry. They're looking for something to begin to move amongst us. We see the time creeping up. We see the generation running out. We see doors closing. But we're looking for God to... We know God has been moving all along. But we're looking to see the church begin to rise to a place. Amen. Where the power of this church will pull its brethren. And the power of that church will pull its brethren. And the power of that church will pull its brethren until there's a general resurrection, he says. Amen. And here we see... It was going to take preeminences, consecration. And the Holy Spirit revealed to the prophet, and he said, now is my time for consecration. He said, I must consecrate myself to these things. God must have preeminences, because that is his victory. We know what his victory will be, but we have to become that victory. We have to become everything that he is. It must be here. To prove we are him, restored back to our rightful position. To prove that he too is one standing here. And Gideon, when God revealed, he came to him after the prophet messaged him, and before the squeeze, he told him, you have to bring a burnt sacrifice. He knew, he understood what it was. The second bullock was he himself. He was that second bullock. That second fold mystery, the first fold, the first bullock, which was Christ, the shout. It had been perverted by pagan hands. But God made sure Joash's pagan hands didn't get a hold of the second bullock. We look at them today, and they can only preach the historical part of the message. They can only look back and talk up to 1965. Because why? That second bullock was reserved for a burnt offering. That second bullock was to be offered by a special people in the ordered place upon the top of this rock. And are people who can break down every grove that they have. But when they offer, that bullock is offered upon the wood of those groves. You, before you can even offer that bullock, you have to break down your groves. You have to know what your groves are. You have to know what your little images are. Your little special fantasies, your little thing you make important in your life. Your thing that you're putting your interest into and giving time to replace the time for God and for God's service and for God's word. Amen. You have to set your priorities right and know that those things is an image. That is a little groove. It's a little important. It's causing conflict in your life. When God requires you to serve him in a certain capacity, that comes up. And you all have to postpone God's business and give preeminence to that. You have to know. To know if you are a prisoner, if you are wholly surrendered. Amen. And when that time comes and you see where you are standing, then you know you must break down your groves. Then when you cut down all them groves, you don't put it on a shelf for a later time. Because that grove represented that imitation of worship of Jehovah. Real worship of Jehovah is preeminence. Is love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That is worship for Jehovah. That is your worship that the prophet message brought. Like we say, you know, a dog, the have dog life. And you never see a dog go and scratch the yard and look for a little worm or something to eat. No. That is for a fowl. Because a fowl have fowl life. And fowl does fowl things 24 hours a day. Because you have foul life. And dog does dog things 24 hours a day because you have dog life. And if you have God own life, you'll be doing God things 24 hours a day too. Amen. When you're working as unto the Lord. You're working as a real Christian should work. Amen. Whatever you're doing, is Jesus doing that? See? Showing that it is he being revealed again. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Many times we think of Christ's death, but very little of his life, very little of his ways, to see how his walk, his feet was washed in water. His inwards was washed in water when he prayed. No resentment, no bitterness. Amen. No gall inside of there. See? When he was persecuted, when he was falsely accused, like a sheep, complete, uncomplaining submission. We must have it tonight. You look at your life and see if you have that uncomplaining submission. Sometimes the enemy say, is that brother causing that? Oh, is that sister causing that? Oh, this one causing that? No. God allowing that to show you your shape. Amen. That you will have confidence to know you are becoming the word. To know you are overcoming, that you are an overcomer, and that him that overcometh will inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen. And we have come to that place and that hour where we know it must be offered. But when he offered that burnt sacrifice, down came the Holy Spirit. Down came a ministry of the soul of the Lord and of Gideon. God was in Morphe again for the final ride. God was veiling flesh, ready to face the challenge of the hour. When the enemy think they was going to come against a little bunch of people, they was coming against God. Because they failed to realize that that burnt sacrifice was offered, God had preeminences. It's exactly what's going to be in this hour. God, not what we want to bring to him, but what God requires. God requires a burnt sacrifice. What is preeminences? You have to try and figure out what it is. It's your head on the altar reduced to ashes. You have no thoughts coming. You have no ideas of your own. You have no little private interpretation of the message. It's the mind of Christ being in you. Your inwards washed in water. What are your ambitions? What are your desires? What are your affections? Look at Paul. Paul having such a clear revelation of those things. He said, those shall be your bowels of compassion. He talked about the inwards, the bowels continually. Because why? He was looking at the burnt offering. They had to offer the intestines, the inwards, the affections. Amen. They labor the strength to labor with. To love God with all his strength. Oh, we say we love with all our hearts. Love, we just love you so much. But what about our strength? When we call into service. When we are given responsibility. When we are called to do something. When we're tired. And we said, I feel kind of tired. We best leave that off. Yeah. Or you find a good excuse. No. Amen. But Jesus, if you have that bullock, if you offer that bullock, you got that unceasing labor, If you have that kind of commitment, if you are sacrificial, it must be there. Because it's the bullock, the turtle dove, and the sheep. Each one revealing what the mystery was. Uncomplained submission, mourning innocence, and unceasing labor. Devoted service. It must be there. It must be without spot and without blemish. The inwards must be washed in water. What is our desires tonight? Is our desires, our affections and things above? Is our feet walking up them 7 steps to perfection? Are we walking on the journey of complete, total salvation of all unbelief? Are we walking before God and being perfect? Are we walking in the light? Are we walking worthy of the vocation to which we are called? See? We must have those things to show that character of Jesus Christ. Because power without character is satanic. We know that. But what is the character? What is the preeminence? Here we see it was complete, unreserved consecration where the sacrifice was wholly reduced to ashes. Are you willing tonight that your head would be reduced to ashes? Lord, you know, I always kind of, you know, put up my will against the word. I have the minister say it this way, and I think it's this way. I can't submit to that. You have to prove that to me. And oh, Lord, my feet, you know, I'm going to go where I want. I'm going to make my decisions. I'm going to walk where I want. Well, I'm just going to walk and follow. Amen, follow. What about that fat? That's one of the hardest parts, you know. The choices. And desirable in the best part of the things that you have. Amen. It's good for you. As long as it's for you, it's all right. But when God asks you to sacrifice, Jesus said, man asks for your coat, give him your cloak also. Man asks to go 1 mile, go an extra mile. Man smite on one cheek, turn the other cheek also. Abraham could have offered his best. Isaac. What he loved the most. What God blessed him with. Esther could offer Leah said, all her glory, her queenhood, everything. Laid aside to go inside him. Look at Esther. She had to cast down all her own reasons. She tried to use it to battle the words of Mordecai. But finally, she had to lay down that head. She tried to walk in her own way. But she had to get them feet washed in water. Her own desires was to preserve her own self and not think about her people. And she had to get them inwards washed in water. And then when she offered everything, then we see what came down. He stretched his scepter and said, ask what you will. Look at Gideon after he offered it. Here God came down, shook the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Go in this thy might. It cannot fail. Because both of them is showing that we've come to a time of consecration. We are fixing the end of that ministry. We must meet that requirement. We cannot go further until we become that burnt offering. We cannot go further until we come to a place, if I perish, I perish. When that is manifested, when we do that without a force, without a fight, when that word lives inside of us, we are ready. Amen. God automatically will respond. Amen. When God says you meet the requirement, he will not withhold it. But that was his requirement. Gideon never knew it had a requirement. But that was the requirement. He said, bring a burnt offering. And when he offered it, there was no evidence nowhere of any image no more. It was all consuming there too. Every one of those groves that was cut down, every one of those images was all reduced to ashes also. Because you can't live in two covenants at the same time. You can't have two husbands at the same time. See? That old grove had to go away and be replaced by a burnt offering. And the burnt offering showed the complete unreserved consecration. It showed the preeminences that God is requiring. And then Gideon, when he's going for an hour, he had now the labor. He had the innocence. See, he had the uncomplaining submission that it was no longer man, it was God. That they saw it and everyone shouted, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Every one of them had an empty vessel to show that they was correctly identified. The only thing in that vessel was the burning lamp, the light himself. The only thing in our vessel in this hour must be that lamp, must be that word, that light. It is what God required of them to enable them to face the challenge. With that, they can overcome the challenge. Without that, they can't meet the challenge. We must come to that place. It must be offered voluntarily. Amen. It's not a commandment. Amen. But here he was. He was able to bring himself wholly surrendered unto him. Are you willing to do that tonight? Amen. As I told this morning, as I'm finished, that, you know, a mess like this is hard. But I know you love the Lord. We have been with you. This is the third time I've been here. I've gotten close to many of you. I've been able to sit and listen to you and talk with many of you. And I can see the Spirit of Christ there. We want to stand on the effects of the Word continually. We want to stay in the atmosphere continually. We want to have the confidence in our hearts that we are that Word raised up here in this hour. Amen. We have to keep our faith anointed. We have to keep in remembrance and keep a vision of what God requires before us. That we will not let no alien thing come in there to paralyze and make us drop our standard. But we can hold that stand because sin is to miss the mark. And the mark is revealed to us and we see what it is. You see, because we saw that preeminence in the prophet. We saw it in Jesus. We saw the wave sheaf. We see what the preeminence does, how it walks, how it acts, how it handles situations, how God is pleased with it, how to have a sweet smell and savor before Jehovah. He said, stand to your feet. Act so as good. Whatever you see going to happen. Because why? It pleased the Father. Amen. Amen. And this bride, there's going to be a people in this hour who would pay that price, who would meet that requirement, and God, through them, would fulfill His promise. Amen. So, on behalf of the saints, we want to say thanks for the opportunity, first of all, to minister here. And, you know, the love and the appreciation that we feel coming from you and from Brother Shannon, you know, coming to meet him and know him as he himself was speaking. It was just God bringing us together. Man didn't have nothing to do with it. If it was that way, then I would have to come and sit him to back him up. He'd have to come and sit him to back me up to try to keep a relationship. But God just put his hand on either of us, caused the cross paths. And the third time I've been here, and I don't think I'm going to ever come back and finish unless he comes to Trinidad. Amen. So you have to do something because I will feel that. You know, you give me a message to give Brother Joseph, so I'm going to give it to just let him know how I feel too. Amen. It's either he shows us that he appreciates us and he would come, you know, and come down there and preach to us and fellowship with us. We really appreciate that very much. Also, his wife and, you know, the rest of the family, really appreciate them very much. All the other ministers here in the assembly and all the brothers and sisters. I may not be able to call you by name, but I know the faces. If ever I see you anywhere, I know you and be able to call you. Amen. Amen. Really, truly, in our hearts, feel the love of God here and recognize that God has done something tremendously for you. Amen. Amen. And our sister Carol here from Canada, she drove 14 hours just to come and be with us here in the services. Amen. We came to know her a couple of years ago, and she'd been a trainer a couple of times. She has heard we were coming here, and she drove by herself all from Canada, 14 hours, to be here and be with us in the services, even on behalf of her too. Just, you know, we really want to say thank you very much for the wonderful time that we have spent. I believe God ordained these times, and the things that have been spoken, as Brother Bill was telling me the morning after the morning service. He said we joke a little bit, but the word is really getting home. Well, that's why I feel in my heart. We may laugh and hear tonight, but the word is serious. When all is said and done, we must be reduced to ashes. When all is said and done, we must come to, if I perish, I perish.
And I felt that God had put it in my heart to come and speak and go through the supernova, and that Brother Shannon just spoke it out, and God gave him a witness and gave me a witness in that way, that we would know that it was God arranging this little time for us. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, may we hold that word in our hearts, amen, until it becomes spirit and life within us, that others could know that we have been with Jesus Christ. Amen. So I just want to say, God richly bless you as we ask him to come. We appreciate you very much. And, you know, please, I'm asking the church now, you know, make sure, I'm putting this responsibility upon you all, and make sure you send them down there. Amen? Amen. Send them down our way. Don't let them get too homey, and, you know, sit down there. And if some of you want to come with him, we'll be more than happy. We do our best to accommodate you and take care of you and try to make you feel as comfortable as you could, you know. Don't think we're down there kind of bad, and it's not too bad after all. I mean, we do have a nice pretty church like this, and we have nice soft seats like that, and you know, maybe a little more hot and different things, but you're going to find that people have to love you and appreciate you, and you'll feel just as home. Amen. So God richly bless you. Just ask him to come and stand.
Yeah, after the message tonight, they'll probably send me on Monday. They'll probably want to get me out of here. They're probably saying, why are you inspiring him? Amen. I believe the message speaks for itself. And, you know, in the early years, I know that I tried way too hard. I tried to pack the people. I tried to, by force of personality, I tried to intimidate them to believe. And over the years, it's been a hard lesson for me to accept that I can't do that. I can't get the people to believe. I can't, and it's very hard. For me to have to back off and wait and be patient until that word can grow and come out and produce what it was meant to produce. And but to me, you know, I know that that's what I must do. I must just wait. And I must believe, you know. Brother Ben said something the other night that just really struck me powerfully, and that was he referring to Hattie Wright and saying how some of us for years have held our children and our family under that token, praying earnestly for them, for their salvation, and that the promise is that the hour will come when he will say to you, okay, speak. And the ones that you have held under your token, he will give to you. And I think about my aunt, the one that raised me. A few years back, she had diabetes and she lost half of a leg. And Brother Branham said, in that day, limbs will be restored. And I think, why? Why has that been there? Why is she there? Why is that limb missing? And I want to believe for a time such as this, you know, and many other things that God has ordered that are for a time like this, that it is for his glory and for his honor. And, you know, I think about the one blind man that, you know, was it for his sin or his parents' sin? Neither. Before the glory of God. And, you know, so the reward for giving that burnt offering, there's nothing to compare to it. The what God is asking of you, your thoughts, your fat, your inward, I mean, the what he gives back, it's can't even compare. So to anyone who does not want to give that burnt offering, I think, what a fool you are. What a fool you are. And it, He that would gain his life shall lose it. But he that would lose his life shall gain it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would y'all stand? Brother Bean, would you come? Sister Karen wants to sing Brother Willie's song again. I don't know if you can lead us or whether we need to bring Brother Willie back up. What do you think, Beanie?
I know the chorus.
Brother Willie, why don't you come back up and sing the verses for us, and then we'll sing the chorus along with you.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. The heart and soul of every man. It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness, yet give me strength which I don't have. My Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Lord, from temptation, purify me from within. Fill my heart with your Holy Spirit. Take away all my sins. My Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary.
Hard one to follow.
Lord, it's definitely given much to chew the cud on.
Amen.
And I'm sure we will. And I pray that the conviction would not leave us. And of course, it cannot leave the elect because it's got to produce what it was sent for. Thank the Lord so much. Now, tonight, after the service, my intention is I'm taking the Trinidad Church to Perkins and feeding them, and The rest of anyone that would like to come, you can. We've called Perkins and we've made arrangements, so hopefully they'll give us the back room. And I know my wife needs to take the children home and some of the rest of you, but whoever is able and would like to come and join us at Perkins, you're more than welcome to share this last meal with them. And I believe Brother Van is going on to Tucson, right? So will you be preaching there? Well, we'll remember you in prayer, whether you do or whether you won't. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, these times of parting are always sad, but yet they hold a hope of a time where there won't be any sadness, there won't be any need to part. There is a desire in us to be a family, because we all have the same heritage, we all have the same Father. The Lord, family doesn't like to be apart. And so we call upon you to wrap up everything quickly. And even though I haven't met yet the other saints of all the ages, I know that I will love them as much as I love Brother Van and his saints, because there's something about them that's all the same. And what it is, Lord, it's you. It's that we draw our heritage from you. It's the genes, Lord, that we all have that make us so attractive. It's the evidence of the influence of Christ in our lives. And Lord, how can we not but love you? How can we not but love those that you are in? Anyone that loves you, I love. Lord, I know that in spite of all of my faults, if there's anybody that loves you, they're going to have to love me. They're just going to have to, because I love you, and they will know that I love you. So don't just have to forgive me and tolerate me, but Lord, they're going to have to love me too. Father, may you go with Brother Ben and his flock as they travel on to Tucson. Protect them and give them rest and refreshment. Lord, and when they return home, let them be excited to return back to their post of duty and just to be ready to offer that burnt offering. As Lord, I know that you will be dealing with us concerning that burnt offering and revealing to us where we are short. And we will be coming to you in prayer, I hope, and expressing our desires. And hope, Lord, that we have the humility to be able to see where we're short. I hope there's none that say, I'm glad I got the burnt offering out of the way. Lord, I'm the pastor of the church, and I got a lot more to offer. So, Father, they can't rise any higher than me. So they think they have. They're deceiving themselves. For I'm here to testify that I've got more to offer you. And like the brother said, when it is done, the other will automatically come. So, Father, I'm not worried about that other. You told me, you've spoken to my heart what I need to be concerned with, and that will I do. I'll leave the rest up to you. Father, go with us now as we part. And Lord, I ask you to remember our children this week as they take the test. Lord, give them rest all week. Let them be clear-headed and let them do their best. Father, we don't care how they score on it. That matters not to us. But Lord, just let them do their best and let them not be at any disadvantage at all. And so just bless them throughout the week. And Lord, prepare us for next weekend as we go to try to be a blessing for the saints in Indiana. Lord, help me to be ready to be that ox and to give of ourselves all that we have and to fit in wherever they want us to fit in, however they want it to fit in, Lord. Just let us be pliable. So, Lord God, we commit that to you and know that it will be a blessing. We thank you. Now, Lord, go with us as we part now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. You're dismissed.